again. Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. Last week I was in Exodus chapter 2 and 3, really speaking about Moses' encounter with a burning bush and how that changed everything, how God was going to use him as a deliverer for his people to bring them out of bondage of sin and the bondage of Egypt. And so since then, if you read Moses or about Moses in Exodus chapter 4, if you'll remember, probably as you're, as we'll speak about this at some time, Moses tried to wiggle out of his doing the will of God. Exodus chapter 5, Moses stands before Pharaoh. Exodus 6, God encourages Moses by sharing his personal name. Exodus 7, the first miracle starts. And then 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, we find that God does the 10 plagues on Egypt. And then by chapter 13, it ends with Israel leaving Egypt and following this cloud by day and fire by night. And then we find that in chapter 14, everything changes. God's going to use a mighty thing to really deliver Israel once and for all from this place called Egypt. So let me read to you out of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. I'm just going to read a few verses, maybe through verse 14, and I'll start from there. Here's what the Bible says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it ye shall camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all of his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and against his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And they made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for your power and might and your deliverance in times of need. Lord, today I just pray that we would see ourselves in the same place and see how you parted the Red Sea. And Lord, let them walk through by safety. And Lord, today for those great Red Seas in front of us as we face troubles and trials ourselves, let us see how you apart those that we may walk across to. Lord, I pray that you give me unction, that you give me clarity of voice and mind, that I would speak the truth, that I would say those things that are needful and necessary and no more, no less. Thank you, Lord, for your word and that promise that you've given us that when it was read, that it will not come back void. Make good on that today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I think I told you the story about this young man reading his Bible on the park seat bench there. And he was just reading different things and came across Exodus 14. And he began to read how the Lord parted the Red Sea. And this young man got excited. He began to hoop and holler. Man, he was on fire. And this enlightened college professor saw that, walked over and said, son, what are you doing? He said, man, I'm just reading about God's power. And now this miraculous thing just parted the Red Sea by God's power. And they walked through on safety. And he said, well, let me just tell you, you need to understand modern scholarship is really figuring out how all this works. It was not the Red Sea, but the Sea of Reeds. It was only 14 inches deep. And just a strong wind and maybe the right tide, they could have easily walked no problem. Kind of content that he had just kind of snuffed out the young man's faith, he began to walk away. And all of a sudden, the young man began to holler and shout again. And he turned back around and said, now what are you hollering about? He said, not only, reading in God's word, not only did they part the Red Sea and deliver the Israelites, but he drowned the whole army of Egypt in 10 inches of water. Now, I like that. There's God's power, and we need to recognize how we can see his power and see his might, and how God changes things as only God can. Notice something in this passage that really kind of speaks to us. One, there's a change in direction, a change in the direction. When you read these first 10 or so chapters, everything seems to be going good. God is moving people. God is showing his might and power, and now God's leading them out. And chapter 13 ends with this pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, moving them in a certain direction. But now there's a great change in directions. And so we're going to find how God begins to move things around and change things around in a different way. And we understand how God helps this oppressed people to be faithful and true. And so we find this change comes from first a command from the Lord. Again, if you read chapter 13, it tells they is encamped by Etham by the edge of the wilderness. Moses had probably been there time and time again as Moses, remember, he was living in Egypt, fled for his life, was gone for about 40 years, came back. He knew exactly probably the way that God was leading them to lead them out safely. And it's amazing. We look at our design sometimes or our plans, we think we know everything. But lo and behold, God's going to give him a command to turn and go a different direction. So Exodus 14:2 says this, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp from Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Beelzebub, before it you shall camp and camp by the sea. Now I can just see Moses saying, Lord, that's not a good plan. See, Moses knew the best and the shortest route that they should take. And I'm sure Moses said, Lord, that's not the way we need to go. But God said, no, that is the way you need to go. And so we need to recognize today that sometimes when God tells us something to do, it may not make a whole lot of sense to us. Matter of fact, Moses would say, Lord, that's going to be a place where we're hemmed in. It's not a very strategic place, Lord. The Egyptians can easily overtake us here. But just know this, God has a great plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. See, God's plan is for us to be what he desires for us. Now, sometimes God's plan might not seem too practical or even make good common sense. And I'm all about common sense. But sometimes the natural is not nearly as good as the supernatural. Amen? Sometimes we got to recognize that common is not what God wants, but the uncommon. It's not the ordinary, but the extraordinary God has for us. And so it must be done in God's plan. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so today, I wonder what plan that God has you in. What plan is God trying to lead you? You know, I like to do acrostics. Plan, P-L-A-N. P stands for a personal relationship. If you want to be in God's right plan, you ought to have a personal relationship with him through Christ Jesus. Now, you say, I don't need that. Well, you're right. You don't have to have a relationship with God to be in the right plan. Ask King Nebuchadnezzar. Ask Pharaoh in this passage. He didn't know God, and God used him. And so just be careful on thinking about God's plan, whether you know him or not. So we need that personal relationship. L is for listening. We need to listen to God's plan. If you're like me, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I'm guilty of talking too much to God, amen, and not listening enough to God. See, God's plan is God's plan. It's not our plan. So we ought to stop talking sometimes and listen to see what he says. A is for accepting whatever befalls you. When God says, go do this, just simply say, I will follow that plan. If God lays it out, just accept the plan and go. And then N is never turn back. Don't give up on his plans. I like Romans 11:29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, when God's got a plan, he's not going to take it back. When God's got a perfect plan for your life, you can trust that he's not going to pull the rug from underneath you. He has a plan for you to follow, and you should follow that. So many times, though, we tend to turn things around. We start out good, but we sell ourselves short because we do not fully follow through. And there's scripture after scripture that you could just quote and recite there. But just know that God wants us to not turn to our directions, but to simply follow his direction. So today, I wonder, what are you following and what plan does God have for you? we're going to find that God's going to get them in a tight spot. This plan's going to lead them to a spot that's not, in their eyes, very good. And so sometimes you may be facing some things right now you think are not good. But it's in those spots, it's in those times when we are strategically placed that we truly begin to seek the Lord as we should. And we're going to find that very same thing. They're going to truly seek Him in just a few minutes. I like Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me, notice this, with all your heart. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And so the picture is that when you surely seek the Lord, when you seek His plan, you will find what you are looking for. I wonder, are you willing to be in a place in your life where you're sustained only by the power of God? That's what God was doing. God was moving these people to a place where they truly had to only rest in His power and His strength, not of their own. And so God gives them a command, but secondly, there's the compliance of Israel. Verse 4 says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Notice this, and they did so. And they did so. I want my life to be like that. That the Lord speak, and Paul Osteen would say, I did so. I did that which He commanded. I wonder today what we're willing to do. Are we really, really willing to turn and follow God's commands? You know, we talk about turning today. We call it repentance. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke 13:5, nay, I tell you, unless you repent or turn, you shall all likewise perish. And so they had to turn. They had to change direction. It was first a physical turn and then a mental turn. Or you could say it was a mental turn, then a physical turn. Whatever came first, just know they did that. And so today in our life, we got to have these two things. We got to physically turn from the things that would harm us or hamper us and turn to the things that honor God. We must turn from something to something else. And so we do it physically, but we also do it mentally. If you read verse 8, it says they went out with a high hand. They had their mind right. They understood the power of God. You may be saying, well, do I need to turn? Yes. Turn to what? What's God's plan? Well, listen to what God says. Listen to His voice. You say, well, is God speaking? He always is. Matter of fact, go back to just hold you where you are, and let me just read this to you. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 says, I'll read the first part of the verse. Then the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 8, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 9, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 10, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 11, 1, and the Lord said unto Moses. Exodus 12, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 14, 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. He was speaking over and over and over again, as He is today. You say, well, He's not speaking to me. Well, pick up this right here, and He surely will. Amen? I'm telling you, He tells us right and wrong. He tells us what to do and not to do. He gives us insight, and we're filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you, it comes alive, and we can live by faith of this because of His speaking into our heart. So what's He telling us to turn from today? Maybe it's, again, turning from that old life to a new life of salvation. Maybe you're here today never giving your life to Christ, never saying, Lord, save me. Maybe you're not ready yet, but I'm telling you, God's speaking to you. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. And so today, maybe your turn is to salvation. God wants to save you. Maybe it's the thing that follows that. Maybe baptism. Maybe you've been saved but never publicly been baptized. You say, well, I'm afraid. I'm nervous. Good. Every time I baptize somebody, I always say, are you afraid? Are you nervous? And they all say, and then I say, me too. Amen. Anything you do important makes you nervous. Maybe it's something else in your life that you need to turn. Maybe it's serving. God's called you to serve. That right turn, that change brings honor to the Lord and glory to His name. Maybe it's something like sharing or witnessing. Whatever it is, if God's speaking that to you, be like this, what they said. And they did so. I wonder today, will you leave this place being able to say the same thing? Will you say, I follow the command and the call of the Lord? They did, will we. Well, not only a change in direction, but now a concern of the people. So they're going to turn. They're going to do that very same thing. So notice first, when they do that, there's going to be something that happens. And so I'm just going to say this. When you follow the commands of the Lord, it's not going to be a cakewalk. When you follow God's commands, there's going to be some trouble. And notice the first thing. There's the challenge by the enemy. The challenge by the enemy. I'm just going to back up to verse 5. Notice Exodus 14:5 says, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this?" Now remember, the Israelites were slaves. And so I'm sure Pharaoh got up that morning and said, where's my cup of coffee? Where's my Israelite coffee bringer? No Israelite coffee bringer. Nobody to stoke the fire. Nobody. The Israelites were gone. The servants were gone. So they said, why have we done this? We have let Israel go from serving us. And they made ready his chariot, took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Israel and captains of every one of them. When you read verses 8 and 9, it says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued them after all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, overtook them and camping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth and before Beelzebub." And so they're being chased. The enemy is coming after them. And I'm just going to tell you today that if you live for Christ, the enemy will be after you. Now, don't let that scare you. Don't, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Just know God is able. But I got to say it again, because I've heard it so many times. Well, preacher, I'm trying to do right, and now this happened. Well, of course it did. Just keep living for him. God always works those things out for good. Satan will be against you. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Apostle Paul makes it clear that we're in a battle day by day. And so when you're trying to do God's will, you will surely bump into Satan. You say, "Well, I'm not going through anything right now." Just wait. Either you've just left a trial, going through a trial, or fixing to enter in one. There's just no way around it. But don't worry. There is great power in the Lord. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And so the enemy was closing in. The enemy was challenging. But now notice the next thing, the closed eyes of Israel. We finally get to verse 10, and it says this, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." I'm going to tell you, notice the closed eyes. One, there was a failure to keep focused on the Lord. That is everything. I'm saying that is the most important thing we can do in our life. That is everything that is important to us, that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. We must focus on him. And when they had a failure to keep their eyes focused, man, things go south. Kind of reminds me of a man named Peter when he sees Jesus walking in the water. And he said, "Lord, bid me to walk unto you." Remember Matthew chapter 14, verse 29? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, that's when Peter sees the waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." I'm telling you, part of the problem with us today is we get our eyes off the Lord and on each other. We get our eyes off the Lord and on the world. We get our eyes off the Lord and see our troubles. We get our eyes off the Lord and see the mess we're living in. And man, it is not good. Look what it does. Failure to keep focused on the Lord leads to a great fear. Notice they were sore afraid. I'm telling you, fear does something to us. Fear makes us do things we would not normally do. That's why the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. only fear the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Matter of fact, fear keeps us from doing God's will. Fear holds us back. That's why we don't witness like we should. That's why we don't give like we should. That's why we don't serve. Wow, we have a fear of losing what we have many times. That's why in the book of Joshua, when he was telling Joshua not to fear not, he says this, Joshua 1:7, only be thou strong and very courageous, notice this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which my Moses servant commanded thee. He says, don't fear, so you will follow what God has said. I wonder today what you're afraid of that keeps you from being the very best you in the eyes of God. What are you afraid of doing for God that holds you back? What fear do you have? Again, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. So their failure leads to fear, and their fear leads to the Baptist way of fault finding. Amen? Notice verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. It's amazing. When you read verse 8, they went out with a high hand. That means they went out, man, they were celebration. They were happy. They knew the Lord. They just seen the 10 plagues, man. They were on fire. But by this verse, they took those high hands and wanted to lay them around the neck of Moses. Amen. You been there? Preachers know about that all the time. Amen. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about doing this. I said, hang on now. You better be careful now. Things can change in a hurry. People are just like that. That's us. We get our eyes off Christ. We have fear, and we begin to find fault. Most of our problems today come from getting our eyes off the Lord, which leads to fear and leads to fault finding. In our marriage, in our jobs, in our churches, when we get our eyes off the Lord, it is downhill from there. I keep thinking about Elisha and his servant surrounded by the enemy. And you remember that story when Elisha was in there and his servant went out and he came back and said, man, we're surrounded. What should we do? How can we do? And remember Elisha, he came out. And he said, when the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, a host compassed about the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And here's what he said. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I wonder today, are you full of fear, frustration, fatigue? What are your eyes set on? It is easy to get your eyes off Christ and on other things. Focus on Him and see what God can do. Get your eyes on Christ and see how great He is. Well, notice the change in direction. Now there's concern of the people, but lastly, or thirdly, there's the conquest by the Lord. And so the Lord is fixing to do a mighty, mighty work. But first, there is something. Notice first, there's a plea for faith. Verse 13 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. In other words, stand still, don't run away. Trust in him. The Proverbs writer said this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't run away, what Moses was saying. Don't flee. Stay still. And so there was a plea for faith. But now look at the protection that was given in verse 19. So they are calling out. Verse 19 says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud that went from before their face stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all night. Do you understand that? They were following this cloud, this fire, this pillar that was going before him. They said, turn. So they finally got to a spot. The cloud was still there. They see the Egyptian army coming. And so as Moses calls out, the fire, the pillar of fire, goes all the way around and comes between them and the enemy. It was light to the Egyptians, to the Israelites, but darkness to the Egyptians. It divided the camp. Let me tell you a secret. It was good that day to be in the right camp. It was good that day to be on the right side of God. Just as it will be one day when you stand before him, either you're saved or not, either you're with him or against him. Matter of fact, if you keep on reading many times in the Bible, he says in Matthew 20 or 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There are so many verses that speak about God's judgment and also God's mercy and grace. And so we need to ask ourselves, which camp are we in this morning? Which side are we on this morning? Are we with the God's people or not? And so there was protection given to God's people during that time. So there was a plea for faith, a protection that was given, but also a procedure that was required. Verse 15 says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Man, I begin to think about things they had to do, and the things that God was calling them to do. They had to do right and go forward. But one thing, he said, stretch forth that rod. Have you ever wanted a rod like Moses? Man, I used to think, man, if I had a rod like Moses, man, wouldn't that be a good day of fishing? Man, you just stretch your hand out there and all them fish kind of flopping around. Don't worry, Dennis, this ain't the ugly stick they beat you with, amen? Man, I've often wondered, where'd that rod come from? I thought, well, maybe it was the burning bush and he just cut that thing down afterward, but he had it before then. There is nothing special with this rod, nothing. Matter of fact, if you keep on reading, it's not the rod that really parts. He said, lift up your hand. See, today this is just sometimes giving us to help us to deliver people. And sometimes the rod we have is not really anything special. It may be something like this that builds wheelchair ramps in Lake Butler. Some people can't get out of their house because They're homebound. It's a wheelchair. There's no way out. It's amazing the place we've been that they were shut in, actually. And this right here is the rod of God. Makes life possible. Sometimes it's just maybe a little thank you or encouragement note. Amen? That little bit of note written, somebody that's heartbroken, they may see the hand of God by the rod of God. Sometimes it may be this, taking somebody to the hospital, maybe take somebody to the bus station, somebody across town to the doctor. Man, I've seen lots of people use the rod of God when they had no other way. See, there's a rod of deliverance. What about this? This may be the rod of God to some child across the sea that will never hear about Jesus as they open this, and it's a rod of deliverance. You never know. The question is today, will we pick up the rod of God like God's called us? Will we simply live by faith for him? Will we be like Moses and be that person that simply follows the command? Moses stretched forth his hand. Notice there was a product of deliverance. Verse 21 shows us, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You say, oh, I can't do that. Let me tell you a secret. He's not called you to walk on water. He parts the water. We walk on dry land. We simply hold what God has entrusted us to live with and do. Miracles take place. You may not call them that, but those that receive them surely do. But it doesn't stop there. The waters were divided, but secondly, the enemy was destroyed. If you read verse 27, it says that Moses again stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there was none that remained, not so much as one of them. The enemy that pursued, the enemy that had been against them for hundreds of years, that they had no power to overcome, when they finally followed God, that great nation was destroyed in one day. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I do know this, that God is able. There is nothing that you're facing that God can't handle. There is no thing in your life that God is not greater than. In one day, God overthrew the great nation of Egypt. But lastly, the people were dazzled. Verse 31 says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Can you imagine that day of deliverance? Can you imagine seeing the power of God defeat the enemy? What kind of impact would it make on them? What kind of impact does it make on us? When God delivers, I'm telling you, I've seen God's deliverance time and time in my life. From what looks so bad, God has changed to be so good. And maybe you're here, you need a miracle in your life. I'm telling you, call out to God and see what he can do in your life. He has saved us and helped us and delivered us time and time again. So the question is, will you be available to God? Will you be used by him? Will you follow what he says? Will you trust in him as only he can do those great things? We close the poem. It is a step of faith we're called to give, for when the Lord we live. Not a giant leap over mountains tall, but a forward step that seems so small. But it is a step made in faith that cannot fail, for it is not us, but the Lord who will prevail. He will roll back the waters and turn back the tide. There is no river too fast or ocean too wide. But these mighty things depend on God and you, his great power and your follow through. So what step will you take as God gently leads? Will it be in the form of actions or words or kind loving deeds? No matter the faithful step, the outcome is the same. It leads to a victory in Christ's blessed name. I'm telling you, God has all power, can do all things, but he begs and yearns for us to join him in that and follow him. And by that, everything changes. The question, are you willing to be part of the plan of God? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. Maybe today you're here and you say, ah, that's what I want, that's what I need. Why not today then? Just call upon the Lord right where you sit. Lord Jesus, I'm in desperate need. And without that desperation, I'm telling you, many times we don't seek him. Lord Jesus, I'm desperate today. I need you. Please forgive my sins. Come into life and save me. Truly mean that prayer. Ask the Lord to save you and see what he does. I guarantee you, God is able to save you. Why not make that public? Why not walk that out and say, Brother Paul, I just received Christ. Or maybe you've done that and never made it public. Why not today? Maybe it's baptism and you've been worried about that. Why not? Will you trust him enough to follow in baptism? Why not church membership, or why not service, or why not sharing your faith, or why not being a person that goes out day by day and doing those things God called you? Why not? I'm telling you, God is able. If we'll just pick up that rod and follow the plan, there's no telling what he can do in this place, in this community, in this nation, in this world. He's turned it upside down time and time again. Let it start now again in this place. Let us follow him. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for your word that gives us hope and peace and direction and commands us to follow. Lord, let this be the day that we all do that. Turn us from us and turn us to you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.